Hi everyone, welcome to episode 5 of the 5x5 podcast. This is Mina.
Hi, I'm Tanya.
And so I think we're finally going to talk about One Direction today, yay?
Yay!
A bunch of things, stuff that we've been fangirling about recently. And also we have a guest today. He is book blogger and journalist Ron Lim. And he's going to tell us about a bunch of things, including One Direction. Yay!
Finally, because he was supposed to come on, he was supposed to guest a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, work got in the way and we had to postpone. But he's here with us now in today's episode, so watch out for it. Amina, what do we have first today?
Okay, well, I'm going to fangirl about something a little related to our guest topic today about music. So I'm actually going to fangirl about Dia Frampton.
Wow, cool. Week. I heard you met her.
Yes. Yes, so Dia Frampton, if you aren't familiar with her, she was her claim to fame recently was that she was a runner-up in The Voice in the U.S., the first season. So she was mentored by country singer Blake Shelton, and she made it all the way to the finale.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really cool. She's got that nice folksy, really chill voice, and I like her. And I got the happy chance to meet her last year when she first visited Manila. And she's back here this week. She was back here this week for two shows.
Mm-hmm.
One in Hard Rock in Makati, and another in Soler.
Oh, okay.
So I was able to see one of the shows. And she's awesome. So I actually was tweeting from the show, and there were people I was tweeting with who were there too, and we almost like saw each other. And but there were a lot of people at the show, so I wasn't able to meet with other Dia fans, and then we had to go eventually. But yeah, so that was the fun fangirly thing I did this week.
Oh great. I have a question though. You said she was mentored by a country singer?
Yes. So
is that the kind of music she performs?
I think it's not necessarily. Her music sounds a lot like the singer-songwriter stuff that actually reminds me of the songs I liked in the 90s. Jewel, for example, early on, stuff like that. But I guess she has a modern take on it. And she was also in a group. Even before The Voice, she was in a group with her sister called Megan Dia. Mm-hmm. And her sister, Meg, is actually here this time around. So it's actually like a Megan Dia show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was fun. And she has an album called Red. So she played a lot of songs from that album. And it's a thing. She's been going around the region lately, China. I think she's in Malaysia now. So the Philippines was another one of her stops again, and it was cool. It was cool to see her.
Oh, that's so great. And I think you gave her a little gift.
Yes, I did. And then I discovered the joy of fangirling, like giving artists gifts. But
yes.
I actually gave her one of my books. So if you don't know who this Mina who's talking right now is, so I'm actually an author. And the first time Dia Frampton visited, the gift I gave her was one of my books. And she tweeted, I think she was on a plane. And then after her flight, she tweeted that she had actually read it.
Oh,
and that was cool. So, cool. You know, that's what happens when you admit to reading something, you end up getting more books. So now that she's here, I ended up giving her another book. And it was a book that I'd written recently that featured musicians as the characters. So I thought that was the perfect thing to give her.
I know, it's so fitting, right? And such, such good timing, right?
So. Uh-huh. Timing, that's right. So, yeah. And if you guys didn't know, Tanya here, as in Tanya 5x5 Podcast, is my cover designer. So the paperback. The paperback book that I gave Dia and Meg was designed by Tanya. Yay! It's really pretty.
Thank
it's really pretty. Everybody says so.
Thank you. All right. So that's great. Looks like you had a fun week.
Yes, and, yes, I did.
Yes, and as for me, I am today. Yes. I am geeking out. Well, because I realize we've had a lot of writers on our show, and a lot of writers and budding authors are listening to our podcast. So I thought I would geek out about my favorite writing podcasts. I'm not sure.
Yes, please.
So I don't know. They're kind of fun listening to writing podcasts, mostly because other than the fact that you get a lot of writing tips, they are very geeky people. So you sort of enjoy what they talk about, like stuff, movies, TV shows, and stuff they like, which is usually stuff you like. First off, I'm just gonna go on with two podcasts for today. One is it's called Writing Excuses. You can check it out at writingexcuses.com. It's actually a short podcast. Every episode is like something like 5 minutes thereabouts. And as a matter of fact, 15 minutes. As a matter of fact, their motto is 15 minutes long because you're in a hurry and we're not that smart. And it's hosted by a bunch of writers. You have Mary Robinette Kowal, who's a novelist. Brandon Sanderson, he writes fantasy. Howard Taylor, he does cartoons. And Dan Wells, who writes horror. So, you have like different genres. And there's like a topic every episode. And they discuss the topic, like how do you write characters who are like this, like that. So, and it's fun. And the other favorite writing podcast is called Script Notes. Now, this is actually a script writing podcast and it's hosted by John August and Craig Mazin, who are both actually working Hollywood writers. So other than advice on, script writing, how to open a scene, etc. They also talk about the movie industry, which is like super interesting for me because I love movies. So these are two of my favorite writing podcasts.
Okay. Are they applicable naman for like writers who are not in Hollywood or not in the US?
Yes, actually, because
the advice that they give.
Yes, because when you write, scripts, for movies, some of the rules still apply. How to keep your audience interested. Because when you write a script, these are first before they become movies. They are first read by people, producers, directors. So in the same way, you still have to keep them riveted on the page. If they have to like your script first before it has any hope of becoming a movie. So it's sort of a lot of the tips and a lot of the advice they give is actually pretty much applicable to writing novels or short stories and whatnot. So yeah, and they have credibility because they're actually working writers. John August wrote Big Fish. And like a bunch of movies, Frankenweenie, he also wrote that. And Craig Mazin did the Hangover movies. So, fun. So again, different genres. So you get different perspectives on, on writing stories and writing movies. So there, I hope you guys check it out. If you're listening right now, this is the 5x5 podcast. We are on youtube.com/5x5podcast. You can also find us on iTunes. We will post the link on our show notes, but we hope you can subscribe so you get updated every time we have a new episode. And we are actually live every week. It's usually 7:30 p.m. on Thursdays. And Ron, are you here?
Yes, no? I am.
Hey, Ron. Ron is our guest for today's episode.
Hello. Yes.
Yes. How are you today, Ron?
A little stressed. I'm still at work.
I know. Is your boss going to get mad because you're on the show with us? No.
I'll take care of it.
Right. You're pretty busy. So you're a journalist, right? What's your beat?
I usually cover literature at the publishing beat.
Oh, that's so great. Right. And I hear you meet visiting authors, like celebrity authors. Because recently, I don't know if it's a recent thing, but it's like a lot of celebrity authors have been visiting Manila for book signings.
Yes,
and,
yes,
to meet their fans.
Yeah, mostly through the efforts of the two bookstores here in the country, National Bookstore and Polybook.
Yeah, right.
So they're the ones who they're the ones who approach these authors usually at book fairs or through their social media and try to entice them to come here to the country.
Oh, that's so great. So I haven't actually been able to go to any of these events, although I did go to the Manila Book Fair. There's a bunch of authors who were also, you know, doing, I don't know what it's called, like a fan meet or something. They were interviewed on stage, and they were like, so, like, their fans were there, and it's so great to see, like, writers being given more or less the same rock star treatment as, I don't know, singers, and we read, right? A lot of people, a lot of young people, and like to read books.
It depends, really. Mm-hmm. If you ask Filipino publishers, they're going to say, you know, like young people aren't reading books. But if you go out there and actually talk to these young people, they are reading books. They're just not reading the books that some of our publishers are putting out. So
yeah, because a lot of the, they're, you know, the thing they have on National Books there, they put like the list of the best sellers. And they actually have a separate one just for YA. So, you know, young people read. Obviously, right? Because and there are book signings that, you know, there are a lot of kids like go and attend just to meet their author. So I think that, you know, your theory is quite accurate. Like, you know, people read. We just need to, they just, you know, are very particular with what books, you know, they like. And perhaps these publishers who say that, you know, young people don't read so much, maybe they just need to get in touch with the market a little better.
Actually put out something that isn't going to break out of schools, because the first thing that will turn people off from reading is when you say it's required.
Yes, people will know, right? It's like vegetables, you know. I mean, vegetables are good, but if you force them, you're gonna develop a distaste for it. So same things with books. Then, you know, they're both good for you, and they can be fun. So, but you have to, you know, develop your own taste, right? It's hard when things are forced on you. So, who was the most recent? Who's the author you met with most recently?
The most recent one. Here last week was Gail Forman. So
Gail Forman.
She wrote this duet of duets, like two book stories. If I Stay and Where She Went, and Just One Day and Just One Year.
Oh, okay. So what kind of books does she write?
YA, but they're not paranormal romances. Although you can sort of kind of say, like, If I Stay is almost crossing that line, but mostly it's about young people falling in love and then all the travails that go with that. And usually they happen within the space of a day. Like, If I Stay, her first, If I Stay, her for, no, it's not her first novel. But that book that really propelled her up the bestseller list.
That was her breakthrough novel, then.
Yeah, it was her breakthrough novel. Everything that happens within the novel happens in the space of one day. And of course, the book Just One Day happens in just one day.
Okay. So, and so how was did she have a book signing?
In Cebu and Glorieta one. And the Glorieta one was like really full. I think started out at 4 in the afternoon, and by the time they finished, the mall was already closed, and National was the only place that still had its lights on. So it was, the line was that long.
Did everybody get to get their book signed? You know, like they.
Definitely. Yeah, because we I passed by later on in the evening, and mm-hmm. like. There were still like people in line getting their books. Every single one of them.
Wow, that's so great. Did you get to meet her personally, interview her?
Yes, I did that the day before the signing. I got to interview her at the raffles. And she was sick at the time. She had a throat thing.
Oh, that's so sad.
So yes, she wasn't as energetic as she was during the signing, but she was very, very nice to talk to, very much, and a very dry sense of it.
Okay, great. So Did you, when you interviewed her, are you, you know, like, is there an article coming out, or has it come out?
It's going to come out this Saturday.
Oh, this Saturday.
Yes.
What newspaper?
The Manila Bulletin.
Manila Bulletin. That's the paper you write for. Everyone watch out for it this Saturday, the Manila Bulletin issue.
I have a question for you from Twitter. So
okay.
So I guess you go to all of these book events a lot. So what?
Yes.
Are there any crazy stories you can share?
Crazy stories about my interaction with these authors?
Yes. I don't know. Like, are they like rock stars? Do they trash hotel rooms?
I wish they did, but no, they're very nice. I don't know. Did you want something that's embarrassing or what? What kind of story do you want?
Well, something unexpected.
Well, the story I always tell when it comes to foreign authors is the one I had with Lauren King. She wrote this YA supernatural novel, Fallen, Torment, Passion, and Rapture. So they're about fallen angels and the teenager who falls in love with the angel, blah, 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 blah. So I was talking to her, and I was talking about another author who also wrote about angels, but I didn't like her book as much as Lauren King's book. I was like, oh, this book sucks, blah, blah, blah. So I was really like laying it thick. I was like, in Tagalog, I was, I couldn't find their author. I was really daring her to be the Lauren King. And she says, actually, that author is my friend.
Oh, man.
So I'm like, I want to die.
Awkward.
So awkward. It's a good thing that when she came back, a couple of years after, she came back here to the Philippines. She totally forgot about it. So it wasn't as awkward, but that's the most awkward encounter I've had.
Okay, so at least, diba, parang they talk to a lot of press, they answer a lot of questions, and maybe they forget the embarrassing comments.
Stupid things I've said.
Have you ever like fanboyed over an author to the point that you like your head wasn't on straight?
Because
this is a job for you, right? Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow.
I was so horrible.
What was that like?
I only had a limited amount of time because there were so many journalists who wanted to interview me. Ensuring that, I think I only had 3 minutes. And for like a whole minute, the only thing I said to him was like, I said like a whole minute of that. I couldn't. So yeah, that I was really out of my head. I couldn't think of a question. So embarrassing.
Well, buti na lang they weren't quoting you.
it was a good thing. It was just one and one. Because it was if it was in front of an audience.
No. So
how many?
I'm surprised though that this actually happens. In your opinion, has the author visit been happening more often now than before?
I guess foreign authors they're visiting this country much more than they used to, because I think before the only authors they could bring here had to be someone that corporations bring here, so mostly motivational speakers, self-help people. But now, because apparently the Philippines is a huge market, well, not a huge market, but a lot of books of theirs get sold here. So it's easier to convince them to come to this part of the world. Because I was like,
No, are they surprised when they come here and see like the kind of welcome that they get?
When you first talk to them, they always say, I've always get so many Filipino fans on Twitter. But the reality of it when they arrive here is always so surprising to them, because apparently in the States, if you get like 20 people at a book signing, that's already a huge crowd.
Wow.
So with Kira Cass, when she was here, like 600 people at the National Bookstore, and when she entered, they were all screaming her name, so she actually cried.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's sweet. So, like I said, right? Rockstar treatment for
yeah.
authors.
The reason why Gail Forman was able to come here, I mean, she was already interested in coming here because she was here like back in 1997. She was writing for 17 magazine, and she was sent here to write about activist groups. So ever since then, she said that she's always wanted to come back, but couldn't find a reason to come back. So the authors that came before her, Margaret Stahl, the ones who were at the book fair. So Margaret Stahl asked National if there was a particular author that they wanted her to talk to come here. And they said Gail Forman. So Margaret Stahl told Gail Forman that maybe she wants to go to the Philippines through National Bookstore. And that's how the whole thing happened.
That's so great. So, you know, kudos to National Bookstore for, you know, bringing these authors in. The fans must have been really happy.
Yes, if you were there, the rock star, basically, they were screaming. Some of them were actually tearing up. You know, you'd think it was Daniel Padilla up there, but no.
That's so great. So, who are the
That's Ron? Great, though. No, I just wanted to mention that there was a separate signing in Cebu.
Yes, there was.
How'd that go?
I wasn't there, so I don't know. But if it was even half of what happened in Manila, it was still a big crowd. At least from the pictures on National Bookstore's Facebook, it seemed like it was a huge crowd as well.
Oh, that's so great! I'm so glad they're doing tour, you know, visits outside of Manila too, because you know, fans were everywhere, right?
Yeah, and I think I don't know. I think National was looking at their sales too, I guess. So if people buy it in Cebu, then they're going to send the authors there, which it still is a business. So, you know, if you want authors to go to your place, buy a lot of their books.
Exactly. Yeah. What about local authors? Do you cover their, you know, their signings too?
Yeah, I get to cover their book launches as well. Yeah, then I mostly the authors I get to talk to launch locally are, their writing is much more academic in bed.
Ah.
So it's an entirely different animal compared to the foreign authors.
Oh, okay. And did you get to cover, like, I don't know, book signings for business books? Because before this whole YA thing exploded, I understand, they were visiting authors, but they were mostly for business books. Is that right? You didn't get to see any of them.
Self-help mostly and inspirational books.
Yeah.
I think the only person I talked to was Jack Canfield, the chicken soup guy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't actually get to talk to him because they couldn't set the interview. So I just went to the launch and listened to him talk. So I didn't get to interact with most of them.
All right. What about you? You know, we should ask you, like, who are your favorite authors? Have any of them come to the Philippines? Like, I mean, favorite, you know, non-local author.
My favorite author right now is dead. So there's no chance of her.
That's just, you know, that's just sad when that...
That's just been dead a long time, so...
What about contemporary ones?
Contemporary ones.
Or do you prefer to stick to the classics?
No, I read a lot of contemporary books. I actually like Scott Westerfeld. He wrote this steampunk version of World War One where the Allied powers had, like... mutated animals, and then the Axis powers had steam-powered robots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a really great trilogy of books, but, you know, hasn't made his way here yet, so I'll wait for that.
Maybe one day, right? So I guess that's it for the local book scene. We can go on to part two of the podcast.